Welcome back. This is Frank Riccio, Dave Rubin, Guy Ferranti, and Bob Flynn talking about the law. Today we've been talking about movies. And Frank, you were talking about, the Oxbow incident where they have a trial, so to speak, just listening to the assumptions. Hey, you must have killed, and they hang the guy out there in the cowboy era. 12 Angry Men, they were more deliberative. They went through everything. And Henry Fonda is the reasonable man, which is a common theme in our law. He attacked one thing. It was assumed that a switchblade that was found in this kid's pocket was really a rare thing. They talked about that's why the kid's guilty. And Henry Fonda takes a switchblade out of his own pocket, taking the steam out of that assumption. And there were other things about witness reliability, and he just kept asking questions. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see it when it works, and you know, you're hoping that it works all the time when you're doing a trial. But again, in Massachusetts, we cannot talk to jurors, so we have no idea as to why it is that they did come to decisions that they come to.
We get are some anecdotal things, and I get a lot of them as you do, and some of them are a little disappointing. Rather than digressing, Guy, what do you have? What hits you as your favorite?
Well, one of my favorite movies was a 1979 movie. Al Pacino was one of my favorite actors. Justice for All.
Oh, yeah.
Bingo.
And yep. Al Pacino was in it. Believe it or not, John Forsythe was in it, too. He was a judge. But Jack Warden was a judge, and the scene I remember the most is when he walked out on the ledge and had a gun in his hand and looked like he was going to commit suicide in the movie. And I'm not sure if he did.
I don't think so. Did he, Frank?
No, I don't think he did, but no. I haven't seen it in probably 10 years, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, well, what I kind of remember, and I'm sure it's Justice for All, that Al Pacino knew his client was guilty as a mortal sin. And I think at the end, I don't like to give it away, but nobody's going to listen to me or remember me, and watch it. But didn't he kind of go crazy in front of the jury?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
That was where Al Pacino shouts at the judge, "You're out of order, you're out of order." And then he gets thrown in jail or in contempt.
Oh, all of us have
that was
that
was classic.
Yeah, it is classic. I think Al Pacino is another one of those guys. He's in and out of lawyer movies and
great actor.
He and Henry Fonda. To Kill a Mockingbird, Dave, I know you were very interested in that.
To Kill a Mockingbird is a great movie also, and it kind of, goes under the same theme that we've been talking about, which is that, things aren't always what they appear to be. Atticus Finch represents somebody who's, charged with rape and murder, and eventually the poor guy gets convicted, but unjustly so. And this movie takes place in the Deep South in the 30s and 40s, and the righteous white people of the South are really not so righteous. They're very prejudiced and narrow-minded. And
your classic, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think John Grisham has a movie, The Client, which has a similar kind of theme.
Yeah, a little more modern version of that, yeah.
But that's the only book Hopper Lee ever wrote, To Kill a Mockingbird. And, it was obviously a number one bestseller for
One of the things that strikes me about To Kill a Mockingbird, Frank was saying earlier that the Oxbow incident influenced him in many ways to become an attorney. And I think when I was a kid watching To Kill a Mockingbird, watching Gregory Peck in, that kind of down-to-earth, plain-speaking style is what influenced me in some way to want to be a trial lawyer. And, you know, get to the bottom of things.
And actually, that's Anatomy of a Murder, Jimmy Stewart's role.
Yes.
Same kind of thing.
And you know, those are all criminal cases. But another great movie is The Verdict with Paul Newman.
My favorite movie.
That was a medical malpractice case.
It was, and again, obviously, in doing a movie, you can't capture everything in a malpractice case, but they did a nice job of at least talking about hurdles that many plaintiffs' lawyers run into in terms of bringing a case. And it actually was based upon a true case. Barry Reed wrote the novel. I think he wrote the screenplay as well. And it was based on a true case, but many plaintiffs' lawyers run into problems bringing medical malpractice cases. You know, first of all, because the medical profession is, and rightfully so, held in high esteem, even more so in Massachusetts, which is medical mecca. But you know, it also shows you how hard it is, for example, for us to get experts. How we might know the truth of the case because, you know, most of us don't, you know, troll for these cases unless they're real cases. And if a medical person who was involved in treatment said, yeah, they screwed up and they explain it, you know, we will try to pursue it. But many times experts will back out. We will have to hire experts that are not, you know, they don't match up to some of the well-trained experts that will testify for the defense.
Well, you usually have to get experts from out of state and pay them a lot of money, and then you run into the credential problems and whether they're a hired gun.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the problems that we run up against. And, you know, there's a whole, you know, there's kind of a whole tide that goes against plaintiffs, especially in med mal cases. And in the verdict, I think they showed that. I mean, obviously, everything is melodramatic and not, you know, exact, and you just can't do an exact trial in a movie. But I think that trial definitely, you know, that movie definitely made its point.
Well, I thought, you know, Paul Newman is he's obviously a great actor.
He's phenomenal. I know.
Phenomenal in that role. He plays a washed-up alcoholic lawyer who's really at the bottom of life.
Yep.
And he has a chance, which everybody who's represented plaintiffs has seen the situation, where the defense, the insurer, will give you a few bucks. And he chooses not to sell his client out. He chooses to try the case. He chooses to he had a crisis of conscience. He wanted to see justice done. And that's where the thrill comes in the movie. Little more over the top than in real life.
Right, because he probably has ethical problems. If his client wants to accept a settlement, he's got to do it.
Yeah.
But
that was not quite that issue.
The settlement offer was $210,000.
Yeah, which
so,
is
I mean,
nothing for that
I mean, that's not
injury.
Nothing to sneeze at, but given the extent of what the injuries were, they were pretty serious.
We probably shouldn't mention who they represent, but Barry Reed knew all the big players in Boston. He was a great trial lawyer himself.
Right.
His son is practicing law in Boston right now, and another good guy. But the defense lawyer who played the defense lawyer?
Oh, great actor. I forget it.
I'll think of it in a minute. He represented, he was taken from somebody we all know, you know, who was a very well-known defense lawyer back then. And, you know, the judge, all of the characters, the hospital that was in question, a well-known Catholic hospital, everything was kind of a Boston thing, you know.
It actually wasn't a Catholic hospital.
That's right.
I don't know if I want to mention it, but it was not a Catholic hospital. That interesting in real life.
Is that right? Well, there was no real life to it. The bishop was involved in the verdict. The guy paying the money was the archbishop or the cardinal, to my memory. Am I wrong, Frank?
I think you are wrong. It wasn't a Catholic hospital.
Uh-huh. Well, you know your medical malpractice. I know that.
But a big cast of characters. It was just a phenomenal movie. Yeah. Who's the? James Mason. He was
James Mason.
He played the defense lawyer.
That's right.
And again, another classic.
Hey, can I mention another movie?
Sure.
We'll kind of move along. Amistad.
Oh yes.
That's again what struck me thinking about our doing this show was with Amistad. Right? That was a great movie, sort of a few years ago when it came out. John Quincy Adams grudgingly but nevertheless did end up representing the African-Americans, the Africans at the time, who from that show. That's a pirate. If everybody remembers, that's a show about the Africans who were captured by slavers. And
yes.
Brought to this country, but they, for one legal reason or another, were not really slaves. They didn't fit the definition of the international community. But they took over a ship, killed the captain and somebody else, and tried to sail to freedom, but they were captured and then tried in America, basically as pirates. But it was a great show, again, of a lawyer standing up, Matthew McConaughey, for what was right. But John Quincy Adams, just like his grandfather, John Adams, stood there representing people. Remember with the Redcoats in Boston, John Adams, who was a revolutionist?
Yes.
He actually defended the Redcoats who fired, on the American colonial folks.
At the Boston Massacre.
Boston Massacre.
Yeah.
And I think they won, didn't they, in Amistad?
Yes, they did. And what happened was they did win. I'm not sure if it was and again, I haven't seen the movie in probably 4 or 5 years. It may have been technical that because they never entered American shores, they really weren't slaves. And so they basically they won and they went back to Africa.
Yeah,
that was the upshot of that because they never really were considered to be U.S. slaves at the time that they rebelled. I think that was it.
I think that is it.
And it was. And again, I guess people always say, well, these are technicalities, but technicalities are really important. It's like the Fifth Amendment. The ability, you can't be compelled to testify against yourself. People will say, well, that's a technicality, but, it really isn't, because you got to remember how the Fifth Amendment developed, which was, based upon the fact that in the old days weren't that long ago, you had the Star Chamber, and you would be tortured until you eventually confessed to whatever the crime was, and then when you confessed, then they executed you. So
one man's technicality is the other guy's freedom.
Yeah, and many times people were innocent. I mean, even going back to that movie with Al Pacino, actually the thing that affected me the most about that was, I did criminal defense work early in my career, and many of the things that I really fought hard to do with my clients was keeping them out of jail.
Hold that thought right there.
Okay, I will hold it.
This is Dave Rubin, Frank Riccio, Guy Ferranti, and Bob Flynn talking about the law of movies. We'll be right back.